I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
So if you can learn how to be a part of a team and put your personal feelings aside for the greater good of the team, then I think that's a valuable lesson, especially in the youth today.
Never quit. Never quit radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button if you like to see the show. So today we're outside of the normal studio in the beautiful Texans facility right here in the office. We'll get to that later, but before we kick it off, let's get to our weekly Patreon question. We've tailored this one a little bit, but what is your most favorite memorable fan moment? Do you have one?
Oh, gosh.
Hard, because you have recent ones right now, and then you have
I feel like that was a difficult question because they come in, they pile in. You can think about it for a second if you want. If we're in the middle of this, if you can blurt one out. Yeah.
I mean, our last home game against the Browns, to do that against the Browns with picks we got from the Browns on a trade recently. I think after that second pick six, I felt like I could crowd surf and nobody would drop me. Sure. It was different than a year before.
Yeah,
I'd probably be dropped a year before. But that was really so much fun. I got teary-eyed. I was so happy for the fans. I was happy for the team. Happy for the coaches, the players, just everyone who's put so much effort into this. It really, really felt like we were on the right track.
Yeah, that was fun. I like the home games are so much fun. But what I really enjoy is going into someone else's house and beating them and then seeing our fans that came into sort of a hostile environment a little bit. It's a sporting event, but still they're going – you know, they're surrounded by the other team's colors, and they're wearing our colors in the stands. And then to win those games are really my favorite ones.
Anyone in particular from last year?
There was one last year that I really enjoyed in Tennessee, but I enjoy beating any and all of our AFC South companions. I like beating them, yeah.
That last Indy game was pretty spectacular.
It was spectacular. Jacksonville was fun, too.
Yeah.
Are there any fans, like home team fans, that just – are at every single game that you know who they are?
Yes, and yeah. You look to see them in the crowd at away games, at home games. You know where they sit or where they try to buy their tickets when it's an away game. And so you'll look up there and you know, kind of wave to each other. And we all know who we are. So
we have fans that have had seats next to each other that didn't know each other. But because they came to the game and sat next to each other, they became friends. And they have a wonderful relationship, and we invited them up, a couple of guys, and gave them a jersey when one of them passed away, sadly, but we would look for them all the time. They were next to each other. They were painted up and were great fans, and then sadly lost one of them. So but that's awesome when we see that.
That's a cool dynamic to have.
We were talking about that earlier, that if you're new to Texas – we have everything every other state has too, but if you want to fly neutral gang colors, if you're walking around some Texas gear, you're safe. That's the way it should be down here in the Astros gear, bottom line. But it does give everyone an opportunity to get into one spot and cheer for one thing. It gets everything else out of the way. Can't be surprised. I mean, you'd be surprised who you meet here and when you're all cheering for the same thing, for sure.
Now Houston has a rugby team. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yes.
The Sabres?
Sabercats.
Yeah, Sabercats.
Yeah, they've been around for a little bit.
Okay, well, we just found out, and we just went to a game, and that was actually cool. It's just neat to see Houston bringing sports into the city, different sports even from other countries. You never see that.
All right, so to back this up, just to get everybody familiar with you, you were born here in Houston.
Herman Hospital.
That's right.
Yep.
October 24th, 1961.
Ooh, 60, but thank you.
Was it?
See, I look younger. I look younger.
All right.
The internet is that. Wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I appreciate that.
No, you're welcome, man. All right, so you were born, Father Bob, Mom
yep.
Janice.
Yep.
All right. They were born here in Houston, or where did they come from?
Dad was born in Tampa and then moved to Charlotte and then to Forest City
okay.
in North Carolina. Mom was born in South Carolina.
Okay. You weren't born into a football family, right? That's not how that started. Well, y'all didn't own the Texans back in the day.
No.
Okay. All right. So growing up, what'd Dad do?
Dad ran a trucking company that hauled petrochemicals.
And Mom
and
did.
Then it went under, and it forced him to look around and figure out his next step. Sometimes, you know, difficult things happen that turn out to be real blessings. And so he got into the power business and built power plants in New Jersey. And so I actually went up there for several years building power plants in Bayonne and Linden, New Jersey. And then wound up selling those to Enron a few years later.
So when you were growing up, what did you want to do?
I just wanted to work with my dad. You know, whatever that was, I enjoyed that and wanted to do that.
When you told him that, what did he say?
Come on. It's been a good ride.
Yeah, dude. So the only reason I asked that is because I said the same thing to my father. That's what I wanted. I just wanted to work with him, and he said no. So y'all take note of that. Look what happens when your father says no, you turn out like this, and if he says yes, you turn out like that. So he's a great dad.
Great dad.
God, no, I didn't know that part, man. I appreciate you telling me that. It makes Sorry. Sense. No, it's all good. It's all good.
Could have had an NFL team. Is that what you're saying?
Something, you know. I mean, I eventually made my way back around to it, but whatever, you know. All right.
So, but you played football.
Yes.
And you played in college, right?
I went to the University of Texas, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then at what point did y'all acquire the Texans?
2002 was our first year.
So what's that like? Because the Oilers had left. We lost our football team here, and just sitting around, and the only reason I ask this is because it just seems so far out of everyone's
scope of imagination.
Yeah. And we love coming to the games, and to get a team into the league is hard itself. But how did that come about? Whose idea was that?
Well, when the team left, Dad, we had been working in Baltimore, which lost a team, and he saw it kind of affected the city. Everyone he talked to on business-wise, you know, kind of felt the loss of the team. And so he didn't want that to happen to Houston. And so he went about trying to bring a team back. And it took him several years. And actually, a team was awarded to Los Angeles. But it had a deadline. And if they didn't meet the deadline, then he would get the team here in Houston. And so he came out of the vote, and the reporters are saying, oh, we're so sorry you lost the vote. And my dad was the most optimistic guy. He said, what do you mean? I won the vote. LA's never going to get their deal together, and they didn't, and so the team came here.
I love that. I love that mentality. He seemed like he was just a super optimistic and a guy full with humor that just used humor in a in everything. We have a story about that. Do you want to tell it?
Marcus, right now?
Yeah. Oh, it has to do with Baltimore.
Yeah.
We were in Buffalo.
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 We were in Buffalo.
Buffalo. Buffalo.
That was the first time that I had traveled with the team. My brother was there. I have an identical twin brother named Morgan. He's a United States congressman now. So the congressman was with us. And Kyle called us up and said, hey, man, you guys want to go to watch the game with us? Sure. Where is it? Buffalo. Furthest one up there.
And it was cold.
And it was in the wintertime.
So cold.
So we loaded up on the plane. We flew up there. And right before, if you've never been to a football game in the stadium, there's a lot going on inside the stadium all the time. I mean, besides the teams being out there practicing, there's film crews everywhere. Well, it was me, the congressman, and Cowher walked down the field, and then your father was still alive. He was there with us. And he had just had a, and your mom was there, the whole, everyone. And then the owner.
And me.
And you were there. Yeah. And then the owner of the Buffalo Bills was there. And they were talking to each other on the field. I'll never forget this. And then there was the camera crews were all there. And then you and I were standing behind them. And then for whatever reason, because this football came flying off the field and rolled in between us, and I picked it up. And I had this moment. I mean, it got really good to me. I thought I was in a Texans uniform. I was like, I'm going to show Cal how good I can throw this football. Maybe I can get a job here, right? And I that really did pop into my head for a second. I'm not even kidding, man. I was like, here's my moment. There's cameras everywhere. And I went to throw the football back onto the field, but it was so cold outside that my hands had frozen up a little bit. And Mr. McNair was standing there, and he had this huge bandage on the back of his neck because he had just had cancer removed, right? Was that what that was?
Yeah.
And when I mean big, I mean envelope size kind of bandage on the back of his head. And I hit him square in that bandage. I mean, not anywhere outside of it.
But you weren't trying to throw
it. I wasn't
there.
Trying to hit it. No. I was trying to go around him. Matter of fact, I was trying to go the complete opposite direction, and it slipped out of my hand and hit him in the back of the head while he was talking to everybody on doing that interview in that bandage. And I kind of looked to Cal for some guidance, and he wouldn't look at me.
I backed away, I think.
Yeah, I think you backed away, as a matter of fact. And then Mr. Manair turned around and looked at me, and I had this – I mean, I don't know. I probably never had that look on my face. I tried to blame it on my brother. But he kind of moved away, too. And I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And he kind of turns around and keeps going. Didn't even bat an eye. And then my brother walks up, the congressman, and he kind of looks at Cal. He goes, that probably happens all the time, right? And Cal goes, no.
Never.
It's never happened. He goes, take a look around, bro, because you ain't coming back. Yeah, that was the first time I ever got to travel with a team. And then the
only time.
And the last time.
And the last time. Just like you said.
I don't know why.
I'm never allowed to travel. I have to just come to home games. For Christmas that year, Mr. Manair sent me the football, and he had signed it and said, stick to being a Navy SEAL. So he has a great sense of humor. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was good. But that really did happen.
So many people would have just never talked to you again. And here you are. That is a hilarious story. I love that.
God, I couldn't believe that happened when it did, man, but it did. I was scared too. Like my hands started sweating a little bit. I just remember how cold it was. Because
he texted me. I was at home.
Yeah, I even texted my wife. I was like, hey.
And he never, when he's traveling, we don't text each other. It's like, good morning, good night. But when he gets home, he gives me the download of everything that happened. So he texts me from the football game and he goes, I just did something on accident and it was horrible. And I'm like, what? And he wouldn't answer me. And then he's like, no, it was actually really bad. I feel really, really bad. And he finally told me, and I was like, holy shit, you need to go give him a hug. And he was like, I've told him I'm sorry a million times, but he did feel really bad.
Yeah, it's a great story. Let's get back to football. Okay, so when
you get some used stuff from us every once in a while, don't you?
So they had brought that up, too, and about
y'all's birthday gifts to each other.
Birthday gifts to each other.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite things. And I think it started when Hannah and Joanna told me a story of...
Oh, when I gave that gift.
The candle.
Not the candle story.
Oh, that is smokes. What started that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I was standing there when she said that. Wasn't even paying attention, but when you brought that up, I was like, that's brilliant. Go ahead, tell that story.
Okay.
That is how this started.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to tell this story without just giggling really hard, but I'm going to try. So Joanna and I had a birthday lunch with a lot of, I guess you could call it, high society.
Prominent women in our community.
And it was during a very busy time. It was in December. So it was like very busy. We didn't have time. I was coming from something. She was coming from work. And I was coming from home, like I went by the house to get the gift I had gotten. And she goes, hey, can you grab me something? Well, at Christmas time, like sometimes you have gifts on the counter that have come in and you're like, you just see the outside of it and you're like, this is great. Okay, so I grabbed something for her. It looked like a candle. It was fine. So so then I said, okay, I got something for you.
And a card.
Oh, and a card. And a card. And I thought the card would be the funny part, but that wasn't even the funny part. So then we go to this fancy lunch, and I didn't know this, but they opened the gifts right there at lunch. But I had told them, I was like, I have 20 minutes. I can't be here long. I've got 20 minutes. I've got to go do this.
So is that something cool that you do all the time? You set it up like, I got 20 minutes, that's it, and then you can stay later if you want. It's like a tactic is what I'm asking. It's brilliant.
I mean, I will never tell.
Go ahead.
So then we get there, and I ordered right away, and I did it. And she stayed. Mm-hmm. And so I left.
She dipped out is what she did. And stuck me there.
Okay. So then I left, and about 45 minutes later, she goes, I'm going to kill you. And I was on the freeway driving, and I was like, what? And she said, okay, first of all, the card you sent, it had a snowman.
Hold on. I should sell my side.
Okay. You can go ahead.
I'm sitting there. All the ladies are talking about, you know, what they're going to do. They're lunching with ladies, all this stuff. And I'm just like looking at my watch. I got to get back to work. But I'm sitting there doing the thing.
They're having
then they
decide
to open the gifts. I was like, great, awesome. Glad she got me a gift. Put mine proudly out there. Mm-hmm. They open everybody else's first. There's Louis Vuitton clutch. There's all these things.
Chanel
they're giving
purse.
A Chanel purse. It's great. She opens mine first. It's the card. And on the front, what was it?
Two snowmen eating carrot cake.
Yes.
And it said, you open it, it says, why does this cake taste like boogers?
To this lady. Uh-huh. This socialite.
Snowman's nose.
So then she's like, oh.
Nobody laughed.
Well, that's
nobody
kind of funny. And I'm like, oh, open the gift.
They all take sips of champagne.
She opens the gift. It's a candle. Thank goodness. And I was like, whew.
Oh, gosh.
But on the candle, the person who had given it to Hannah originally had etched Hannah's name. I saw that. I was
she
like,
got
well,
a candle with my name.
I dug in my purse, grabbed $100, and was like, here, this is my portion of lunch. And I left.
Could have said it was from Hannah.
No, it was from me.
No, it was from her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's even better.
The woman who got the gift has a candle with my name engraved on it.
I think that's one of the best gift stories I've ever heard in my lifetime.
So then ever since, Marcus and Cal give each other gifts that are used or somebody else's. Like, Cal will give him clothes that have Cal's name on it.
All of my Texas gear has his name stitched in it.
You sent him a book signed something, and it had somebody else's name, and you crossed out the name and put Cal.
How this made it out is one of the years we were doing that, he took the bag. He had the bag in his car, and he noticed it, and there was a used bottle of deodorant. And some cologne.
Half a bottle of cologne.
Yeah, that's right.
And Hunter calls me and he says, Mom, I think they gave me the wrong bag. And I said, what is it? And he goes, it's used cologne and used cologne and used deodorant. And I just busted out laughing and I said, oh no, that's right. That is definitely Marcus's birthday gift.
Yeah. I look forward to them every year. I mean, I get some great gifts, but that one's unique. And it's the only one I actually hunt for now. I'm like, okay, if I see something busted down, I was like, that's going straight to Cal.
That's so funny. Okay, so let's get to how y'all met.
Oh, well.
Whose side of the story do you want?
Mine, the right one. So the stadium has events here. Like last night we had the Rolling Stones. A friend of mine came to one of the events, was a soccer event, and his firm actually bought a suite to entertain, you know, his friends and clients. And so he'd been wanting me to come and, you know, see his firm and all that stuff. And I'd just been busy. I said, I just can't get over there. And he goes, well, you have no excuse now because it's downstairs. It's, you know, it is your office. I said, okay, I'll come down for a few minutes. So I went down. and I saw Hannah. Hannah worked in his firm. And I said, who is that? He goes, well, that's Hannah. She comes from a large family. She's one of our best workers. I said, well, how come I had never met her? He goes, well, you never come to the office.
Didn't he also tell you that they were trying to set me up with his wife's brother?
Maybe. So then the next week I was able to go visit him in the office. And it was February 14th, Valentine's Day. And so I went in and I did get to meet her. And one of her sisters was there. And she gave Hannah a box of heart chocolates. And she was, I mean, I could hear her. She was saying, well, since we don't have boyfriends, I figured, you know, I would give you some chocolates. And I know y'all, you know, weren't, I knew she didn't have a boyfriend. She didn't have a date for Valentine. That all came, kind of came out as I walked
intentionally.
Intentionally.
I intentionally did not have a date.
Oh, yes. So, the visit of my friend, and then, I left and then he said, well, he called me. He said, did you ask Hannah out? I said, no. He goes, well, hold on. Just hold on a minute. I said, okay. He said, I'll call you back. I said, okay. So a few minutes later, the phone rang and it was Hannah. And I said, well, what are you doing tonight? You want to grab some dinner? And she goes, okay. And then so hung up. And then I said, let me try to find reservations. So it was like 5 o'clock Valentine's. Yeah, right. So I called around. Everyone was full.
Most guys get in that situation, man, that last minute. Yeah. That's not a – that happens.
So then
– I got your back, man.
Even married
dudes, man. Yeah. You know.
So then she said, I called her back. I said, I can't find a place. She goes, well, let me make a call. So she called Cafe Annie and we were in like that. So then I called Cafe Annie. I said, can y'all get some special flowers and put them on the table? And they go, we don't have any, but I guess we could go across the street and get some. I said, well, please go across the street and get some. So they did. So,
you're on my side now.
So then, we caught up at the check-in place, she came up and said, hi, Cal, how are you? And so we went to had our dinner. So then after dinner, had a great dinner, left, and I called her, texted her, say, you know, had a great time, hope to see you again. And how, did you like the flowers? And she goes, oh, funny story. I had the flowers, and someone cut me off when I was leaving, and the flowers spilled, and they bleached my car, because apparently there was bleach in the waters for the flower. No. Oh no.
Dress, car.
Dress too. Well, so I said, well, I'll buy you a new dress.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's how we met. It's
is that happily a full ever, and accurate
happily
story?
Ever after. Yeah, pretty much the highlights. Oh.
So we could skip the first part of that. Yes, we met in the hall and all of that. Well, I'm sitting in my boss's office debriefing the day, the clients and all of what's happened. And I start getting text messages from Andrew Lindbeck, who's one of the partners, managing partners at the firm, who was the guy he was there with. And it's like, call Cal McNair. And we had just had his meeting. And so I'm going, what did we get wrong? So I get the analyst and my boss, and I put the phone on speakerphone, and I said, Mr. McNair, is there something I can help you with? This is, and he said, what he said, will you go on a date with me? And I'm sitting there, and I
with
look
everybody
at,
on the
and
side
I
of
pick
you?
Up the phone. I was like, yes, can I call you back?
She said yes.
And then I just didn't remember what he looked like. So when I got to Cafe Annie, or he wanted to come pick me up, and I said, no, I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
And so I go up to the hostess who I was familiar with, and I said, hey, look, I'm meeting a guy named Cal McNair here, but I don't remember what he looks like. If you could tell me, like, give me a high sign if he comes in. And she goes, he's standing right behind you.
Oh my gosh.
That's him right there.
So he doesn't like that part at all. And then we go through the dinner and yeah, the rest is history. But I will say, like, I'm very close with my family, and so we do a lot of things together, and I was constantly with them. And that first couple of months of dating, I told him,
can only see me one time a week.
I was like, look, I'm with my family and they come first, and we have this thing we always do every week, and I'm live with my sisters, and so we can have a date alone once a week. But after that, like, if you want to see me, you'll have to tag along. And so he started tagging along with us, and that's when I kind of knew, oh, this guy can hang. Yeah. I mean, this doesn't scare him that I have 10 sisters.
Well, let's talk about that. When you family, you come from a family.
Yes. So 10 sisters, 3 brothers, my twin sister. And so we are a large, tight knit family. So
God bless your mother, man.
Yes, for sure. But also, like, it is very, it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary for anybody coming into the family, just going, wait, you know, typically when you date somebody, there's not a whole lot of interaction or there's not a whole lot of approval you have to meet. But when you come into our family, it's a whole lot of eyes on you.
Oh, the worst ones come from right there. That twin.
Oh, the twin. Twins. Yes.
That's what they're there for.
Yes.
And she got it the worst from mine.
I did. Yeah. It was awful.
Well, here's the other side.
It was like a gauntlet you had to pass to get. If we're talking about getting serious here, then that's when they step in.
Yes. And there was a time we were together, and Joanna had been going through a divorce at the time, and she called me. I don't remember what time of night it was, and I said, I gotta go. I mean, I just left, and he's like,
that was awesome.
Our date's over, you know? And I was like, she didn't even tell me what she needed, why. It was just,
oh yeah,
you know, you just
go. That's a thing,
go.
Too. That's a
you
twin thing go. As well.
But here's
a certain phone call comes in, there's a certain word and a tone.
That's it.
And as soon as it comes in, that means all bets are off.
Yeah. We got that. I don't care what else is going on. You're there. But the interesting thing about twins is that you have had somebody who's had your back your entire life. You already know what a partnership looks like. That is full trust. Somebody has your back. You know, there's no question about you having the best intentions for your partner because you've grown up with that. So when you get into a marriage, you can't get into something that falls short of what you know as a partnership. Like, it is a different vibe and something you've grown up with that when you marry somebody, it will not fit unless that person can measure up to that type of feeling.
Oh, have you ever run across a twin that had that, where the sibling didn't get along with the spouse? That kind of
Didn't I mention Joanna was getting a divorce at the time?
Oh, that's you? Oh, okay, Roger that. I didn't know you. Okay, cool. That makes sense now. I get it. All right. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He actually at the time did not want her seeing me.
Yeah, Jake.
Okay. That doesn't work.
No.
Not when you're womb mates. You know, you don't mess with the twin.
No.
That's what I was told early and often.
And don't, I don't know if you know twins. This, but guess who Cal's guard is out here every day? Is my twin, because I can trust her. I know that she has the best intentions, and there's no question. So,
and she has his back just as much as
mine.
Yeah, yep. As yours.
Now, there's one thing you never do is get in between an argument between the twins. Never take sides, ever. Yeah.
Just step back.
Just step back and go, whatever you think, whatever you think.
So Morgan and I, our last argument, we were 17. It was a bad one. So we made this arrangement. We don't even do it anymore. We don't even argue anymore. Like, if it's coming to that, then you see the difference in it, and then we separate. Like, we won't even let it happen anymore.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not. I wish I could try and teach that to the young ones. I'm in this whole teach the kids mode now, transitional period in my life. And then one of those valuable lessons being a twin was that. How to definitely relate and be next to somebody who's almost, they look like mirror twins, especially. Look like you respond, but then there's differences. That's the best part. When those come out, like in the open, normally they don't come out, but every now and again they do. And when you see yourself in a different mode, it's a different feeling altogether. For sure. Yeah, there's something cool about being a twin. How long have y'all been married now?
Yeah.
15 years.
15 years?
I was going to answer before you got it wrong.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd have it engraved on my ring, so I'll never forget it. So, What's a day like for you? What's it like? I mean, Texas royalty, we got it. And it comes in the form of what y'all sit in one of the arenas. I mean, we build this thing around our gladiators. Matter of fact, Texans are friendly overall. And the only time when we want to see some carnage, we come to the arena. You ever throw a man on a bull or you throw our gladiators in here to do some Mortal Kombat?
There's a competition.
For sure.
Don't mess with a Texan.
That's right. I mean, when you leave out of here, people know when you say Texas, they know what that means. There's some swagger that goes with that. And what you pull in there, what's that? When you wake up in the morning,
what's your day look like?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Every day is different. It's really interesting. And certain seasons are more different than others. Like,
oh, come on. You do carpool.
Oh, yeah.
You still can do that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I do. Yeah.
Joanna schedules things accordingly. You know, family first. And you lead by that in the organization as well. They see that too. When you put your family first, and then, you know, the organization also is part of your family as well. So you have to put your priorities out there and don't be afraid to show it either. It's not a weakness to go do carpool for your kids.
Because the
strength.
People who work here will do it by default too. Like, hey, the boss takes care of his kids. I got to take care of mine.
Yep.
That makes sense. Is that one of your favorite things to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Running carpool.
Carpool dad too.
And first stop is Starbucks.
Oh, you got the routine? I got the donut shop.
Yeah, donut shop.
Absolutely. We do that. On the way in, I got a certain music that we listen to fire them up. I do. You do all that?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
We usually listen to the sports radio.
Okay.
The boys want to hear
But then you go listen to Jesse and y'all listen to that. College
of Hollywood Knowledge, yep. 842, right? We like to answer those questions.
Okay, yeah. So I'm asking because I like the ideas.
I ask
all the guys too. This is like, hey, because on the way in town, I'll put something on the radio, or I'll have thought some questions to ask them on the way in, just to get the brain going. It's fun. I love doing the driving them to school.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I do Hunter's carpool.
You do the voice. We run separate.
It's Taylor Swift.
Separate carpools.
Tay-Tay? Yeah, I got a Swiftie in my car too. It's cool. I know all about that. All right, so after you drop the kids off, then what do you got?
Come home and get dressed and head in here and see what Joanna's put on my calendar. Today's been a special day, starting with y'all.
And it's always awesome. A good day with some Texans in the room, right?
I think it's hard to predict your days, especially in a business where you're constantly managing different things, because you have leaders in the spots, right, to run certain things. But if things come up, that's when Cal's involvement is key and your day can change. Right. So if you have, I mean, we had something happen over the weekend that changed a little bit of what we did today.
Oh, sure.
Or how we go about what's going to happen this week. And so there's just different things.
You'll have variables that show up that shouldn't. That's not normal. Like what we just had to deal with earlier.
Yeah.
That's not the call that someone like you should be getting in the middle of the night. That's more like my realm. I'm serious. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we also, on the weekends, we have a lot of sports.
So a lot of baseball.
Our nights
right now
are filled with sports.
Oh, yeah, the kids.
How many kids do y'all have?
We have four.
The three boys and then Hunter.
I got one of those two.
But she has not started so much the sports. She's done a little bit of gymnastics and different things, but she's probably the most athletic.
Is she four now?
Five.
Okay,
so
oh
do
my
y'all
gosh,
push the sports or do you just wait for them to? So are you going to push football on the boys or?
They already play it. I think team sports is one of the most important educational things you can teach kids.
Or put in.
Yep. It teaches. It's baseball is one of. Okay, so let's just talk about baseball. You fail most of the time. How you get back from that, come back from that failure, how you get back up. Are you going to, if you have an error at shortstop, are you going to just stop the game and go mentally help yourself in the dugout? Are you going to go run to your parents? Are you going to go flush it, learn from it, and go to the next play and make that play? So, and then your team relies on you. You can't just quit. Your whole team relies on your position as well. You cannot just stop. You have to be a leader. Okay, so our kids play shortstop, middle infield, and you have to be one of the leaders on the field. They all go off of you.
Gotcha.
And so if you can learn how to be a part of a team and put your personal feelings aside for the greater good of the team, then I think that's a valuable lesson, especially in the youth today, where it's so much self-focused.
And you let them play just year-round sports? All of them. Okay, yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. What about discipline? What do y'all do for that?
Well, if they did something wrong, we would really discipline them harshly.
You a spanker?
Do you, Cal? Do you?
That's a bunch of kids in this day and age. The one thing that discipline's lacking, I think, sometimes. And yeah, I know that your kids are great kids.
I'm not very harsh on the kids.
No, he loves Hunter. She does no wrong.
Right. If she did something wrong, she would get in trouble.
Man, that was smooth the way you delivered that. Did you hear that? Like, hey, he
like
never does
anything
wrong. Like
you said it before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said that before, man.
So one thing in our house is none of the kids have phones. Like, we have a teenager, and he does not have a phone. I think that is very important in their growth mentally, especially with the boys in that middle school age where a lot of things can be shown to you, but you don't know what to do with it. And it can, you know, train your brain a certain way. And I mean, just with our oldest son, of course, that stuff, he has friends with phones and they'll show him. We have had to intervene a couple times and just go, hey, that's not the right thing to put in your brain. That's not what God would have you do. That's, you know, when God puts it on my heart to come in and check on you for a specific reason, he's fighting for you. We're fighting for you. This stuff isn't right and you know it in your heart. So that kind of stuff is very important, but part of that is not having phones right in front of them where they can easily access different things. Also, the bullying that goes on with it.
Yeah.
We don't need our kids to be even on a group text message where they can be called in because they're on it. I mean, we told them, like, you're going to be treated differently. And that means all areas, good and bad. Like, you just can't do certain things.
How did you explain status to your kids? It's gotta be tough.
They get harassed. I mean, they're kids, and they get harassed on the sports field by adults in the stands, by other coaches.
Sure. Yeah.
So they've been dealing with it our oldest has been dealing with it obviously longer than the other ones, but they all deal with it. They all deal with your dad doesn't know what he's doing from third base coach. You know, like, you're going, what are you doing?
That's the one thing about sports. I mean, it was kind of designed for everyone to scream at it so we don't kill each other.
Right.
Problem is now you got all these people in here that
have an opinion. So
that in itself is a lifestyle no one else understands but y'all.
But it's also great. So our oldest, when I said, did you hear what that guy said? He goes, Mom, I don't even listen anymore.
Blocks it out.
He just blocks it out. That's a 13-year-old boy able to kind of, that is. And he's unique. He's very mature in that aspect. But I mean, with Calhoun, he's very competitive. So he had an umpire one time that struck him out in the other batter's box, three straight strikes. And Calhoun kind of looked at him, and we always teach him to be respectful. Like, you don't talk back to umpires. You don't talk back to coaches. And the umpire says, just so you know, I'm Deshaun Watson's cousin, and then rung him up. Like,
gosh,
he was 10 years old at that time. I mean, this is like, they're learning things at an age that is.
I think they're talking to him.
Toughen him up.
But from a family aspect, we just went through something as a family where Cal's brother sued his mom, right? This is stuff you can't hide from your kids. You cannot hide these things from them. It's to be used as a lesson. Like, you don't treat your mother like this. You do not treat your father like this. You will respect them. And so to be able to teach them a lesson, that when else would you be able to teach them that lesson?
Of course.
You need to be tight with your siblings. You need to have each other's back. You do not do this to your mother. I don't care how much you disagree with your parents. You honor and respect your parents.
Do not sue your mother.
Do not sue your mother. But I mean, like, when else in life do you get presented an opportunity to teach your kids something like this? It's very rare, but you use every opportunity, like with anything in the public eye or anything that goes on at home, you try to use those to create a better person in them so that they're ready for for whatever comes their way.
And teaching them family first. I mean, that it really is just full circle on that. It's always family first, and no matter what, in good or bad.
And the foundation, though, right? You have to have God as your foundation.
Absolutely.
If you don't have that to turn to as where you're learning and teaching them, then you're lost already.
You have to have someone higher than yourself to even direct your attention to. I mean, if you're saying everything because I told you to do this, I want you to do this. But if you have someone, you know, you have God, you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're saying they expect, you know, this is something that Jesus expects from you and that he taught us, then it's different. It's not just us just
pulling
teaching.
It out of thin air.
Yeah.
You think I'm just making this up? Yeah. This stuff's real. This actually happens. I mean, but I'm trying to explain it to you at a young age because when you show back up over here, it will too. How about that for irony? I mean, the Creator's got a great sense of humor because some of the stuff we got to deal with down here is just funny. And most of it has to do when we're trying to raise those kids.
And when you put them in something that we never had to deal with. We never had to deal with that stuff. So we're learning on the fly too.
I want
to
know why I'm losing my hair up here, but I'm growing it in my ears and my shoulders. It just like falls down.
We should do a whole podcast on that.
It's just not. That's someone's like got a very
age,
good,
I think
serious sense of humor.
It's unbelievable. And then we die. You know what I'm talking about? It's like right when I get to your peak, you kind of just.
Yeah.
And all this weird stuff starts happening. And I notice like things stick to my face all the time that never used to happen. I'm always constantly checking to make sure I don't have anything in my teeth. I'm like, God's like, yeah, you remember I told you I was going to get back at you.
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding me with all that?
No doubt.
It is. There's those. I guess that's another great part about growing up with family and people around you. It's just like, hey, look, man, we're all in the struggle somehow. Some of the most valuable lessons that we learn come from other people. To watch y'all, where you sit, how you sit, and then how you handle life in itself, because that's different. I mean, we live our lives in a life, and that can be tough, man. And at every point in time when people are turning around, if you're in control of something that we argue at, even if you're winning, I mean, there is no safe space, really.
You better love football because we do it all the time, every day.
So speaking of that, and to finish this up, y'all have really turned the team around. I mean, this last year was explosive, and I'm not a football Like, I'm not someone that follows football, but I've gotten so excited, and I'm on every, like, the social media. I'm following every single thing and seeing what y'all are doing just as – just as a fan, it's so cool to watch. What do you think, what did you do to turn it around? And part of that, I think, is exposing the behind the scenes of who y'all are. Do you think that that had something to do with it?
Being authentic?
Yeah, and it started, years ago. It wasn't just overnight, but it looks like it's overnight, but it started several years ago when we took a look at ourselves and said, basically, you know, we're pretty good, but we want to be great. And what's it going to take to give us a chance to do that? And so with Hannah and myself, we, you know, just committed to, you know, change and what do we got to do and fearlessly, you know, be able to do that and challenge each other and try to make good decisions, daily good decisions, and rack them up over time. And hopefully you build something out of it. So we're seeing last year was really fun.
It was.
As a team started, you really didn't know how you're going to stack up against other teams and what you're going to do well and what you're going to struggle with on the field. And they kind of found a way and got better as the year went on. And to watch that team evolve was really, really fun. And now we're sitting here, starting from scratch, basically, and trying to do it all over again. So we're excited about this year, and just came out of the draft and added 9 young players to go with the group, and they'll battle it out and see where we wind up. But it's been a lot of fun.
Isn't it funny? We talked about God had a sense of humor where we were 2-3 years ago, and we thought, just what is happening? Why is everything that we thought is what we wanted, right? Like, you're trying to hold on to something that you think that is the best for you. This is what we need to go win. And God's like, nope. In fact, it's going to be really difficult here for a couple years, but we're going to get you on the track I want you on. And so here we are, and Cal made some very hard decisions. I mean, he cleaned the C-suite out, and that includes the GM, the coach, I mean, the president, the general counsel. I mean, a lot of people cleaned it out and had some very difficult years of rebuilding that, putting the right people in place. And we're on now what we feel is the right path. And you cannot go wrong by doing what's right. So if we can do it the right way with the right people, those things that we thought that was what we needed is not what we needed. And here we are. If we had kept doing that, if we had kept those people, where would we be now?
Sure.
We wouldn't have the people we have right now in this building and on that field. We are much better for it.
And everyone involved, I mean, just from someone outside looking in, just on a social media standpoint, it seems like everyone involved with the team is so excited about the team. Like, it's not just work.
You can hear it out in town, too, like in the streets.
Yeah.
So fun.
Like, the word on the streets is that, too. You hear it all the time.
We've become our authentic selves with the public as well, right? So before we had the people we have currently in place, we were kind of told, you guys, owners, y'all need to stay in the background. Nobody really wants to hear from y'all, know what's going on. They want just to hear from the coach, that's it, and somebody else. But and then when we said, no, you know, we're going to be authentic. We want everybody to know what we're trying to do here, who we are. We love this town. We love the fans. And we want to do it right, and we want you to hear it from us. So that's kind of how we started getting out more. I know Cal was uncomfortable at first. I mean, I was too, I'm not going to lie. But it's the best thing. It's been the best thing that Cal's been his authentic self, shown who he is. And it's easy. It's easy when you're yourself. It's harder when you try to be someone else.
Yeah.
It's tough step into that. And you did. There's that feeling out. That's what you're doing it. That's what I'm lead bull, like
killing
I said.
It.
I got a question. I got two questions for you. We'll wrap this up.
Lead bull. I love that.
Yeah.
That's what he is. I say that to you all the time. You hadn't told them that?
I love it.
Lead bull.
What goes between us?
You're the lead bull. I know a lot of that stuff does. It always will, bro. It absolutely will.
I thought it did.
It does. Hey, what's the best piece of wisdom advice you've gotten from somebody?
Never quit.
That's
never
good.
Quit.
And then
persistence, have your vision, and never quit.
And I just want to know myself, if you could do anything on the team, like hold any position anywhere other than the one you hold, what would it be? What's your favorite? Like, what's the best job?
Quarterback.
That's what I thought. It has to be, right? Quarterback.
No doubt.
Okay. That's what I thought you were going to say, too. But I got everything that goes around and revolves around keeping this team together and the positions. Is like, well, that's a big one, too. He's got it.
He's the CEO on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight that kid carries, too. He's doing it well.
Yeah, doing it really, really well.
I'm proud of him. I'm happy to have him here.
So when we redid our uniforms, that started a couple years ago, and we went from a sort of a darker red to a brighter red. And it wound up being the Ohio State red.
Oh.
And actually, we got a jersey from Ohio State to look at the red and make sure that's what we wanted.
Before we got CJ.
And then, fast forward a year or so later, we drafted CJ. And now we just unveiled the uniforms with that color that he's used to playing with in college.
That looks good.
He's really excited about it.
Guess what his favorite color is?
His favorite color.
It's light blue.
Light blue.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So he is pumped.
How fun. I love that. I love the new uniforms. And I love that y'all brought the fans into it and actually gauged from them to see what the fans wanted to see. That was.
Yeah, they wanted more horns. They wanted us to try to get that light blue, H-Town blue, which has been our history a long time.
Real horns. Houstonians, we wanted real horns on those things, okay?
And celebrate Houston. So those were things we really heard loud and clear.
And that freaking blue, for whatever reason,
Well, it resonates with Houston because it's in our DNA. It's long before the Oilers.
City flag.
It's been in this town for a long time. That's why it resonates with every Houstonian.
It was great.
All right. Thank you all for doing this.
I've got a question, too.
Oh,
sorry. Uh-oh. Finally,
Hunter.
And he's going to close it.
Okay, so there's a lot
for those of you who don't know, Hunter did live with us for a summer, and it was awesome.
Yeah, also a funny story about that. Came home one day and you're just saying, "Welcome home, cousin." And turns out that
we're related.
Yeah, Ancestry.com told us that we are, in fact, cousins.
Yep.
No one takes advantage of that more than I do. Okay? I tell everybody. I don't even tell people I'm related to my brother. But I'll say, you know who my cousin is?
I know. That was a funny surprise.
I feel like I could throw it down.
That was so funny. Oh, my goodness. I kept seeing it on my 23andMe. And I was like, why do I keep seeing it? And so I sent her a screenshot. I was like, are we related? And she goes, oh, my goodness. Why is that on yours? And I said, no, literally, it's telling me that we're cousins. And she goes, oh, my gosh. So she went and talked to her dad. And then we found out we're from the same parish in Louisiana. But everybody from Louisiana, we're all related,
that's right.
So you know.
That's a thing.
It is a
especially
thing.
Especially from a Boyle's parish.
Especially in that area.
Yeah. No, but okay, so I feel like there's a lot of people out there that really contribute a domino effect line of success all stemming from this one particular play 2 years ago against Indianapolis whenever Lovie Smith just did that Hail Mary touchdown, which changed our pick in the draft.
Like a year and 3 months ago. Yeah.
She definitely remembers.
Is that right? About.
Wow. So
I caught that.
We were standing on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we were all watching it. At the time that happened, we lost the draft pick. I remember we were super upset, at least I was. But in return, we ended up getting second pick, got CJ Stroud. Do you think if that play didn't happen, if we didn't score and win that game, that things would have turned out the same?
That's assuming that we didn't want CJ Stroud to begin with. Right?
I guess, correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want him? Because I wanted him all along.
You did?
Yes.
Then why were you upset?
At the time it was, I don't know, it was just...
You didn't know which one was going to go one. So it is nicer to control your destiny. So having the number one pick and making sure you knew you were going to get the guy you wanted. Now, people have tried to say that maybe we wanted the other quarterback or not. Like, we'll never tell that. But I can tell you that C.J. Stroud, I mean, you watch the film. The guy is incredible. You know what you're getting for sure. But to be able to control your destiny with the pick, yeah, that's something that play did take away. And there's been a lot of debate about who we would have taken if we had been one.
Yeah, because I definitely thought C.J. was going to go number one. So I thought we'd lost him.
You did.
But I'm...
He got a great
mama.
Did
you see all the rumors we put out just to make sure he felt it too?
No.
Just kidding.
So we have so much respect for the game and the players that play it because people will say, were you mad at coach for losing it? I said, no, I tell him to go out and win every time you step on the field. And to say something different is just wouldn't respect the game, and we have too much respect for it and the players that play it.
That's a good
point. That was an incredible game.
That was –
I mean, going for two points to go win the end of the season. That was fun. It was exciting. Like, if you were on the side, it was fun. The guys were pumped. They're standing next to you. I mean, I don't know how you can be upset when these guys just put their bodies on the line to go win that game.
That's a good point.
So, and they're right next to us. So we're as excited as they are.
That's why it's better to be here to when it's going down. When you're in here, you can feel that. Can't feel that from the TV.
Mm-mm. No, you cannot.
Right. That's right.
You know what I mean?
I love that. Is that a plug? Get your butts in the stands.
Yes. Well, y'all need to get your butts in the stands anyway. Get those asses up and get in here. That's what I'm trying to been telling y'all from the beginning. All right.
I will say these games have been so fun to go to, especially the one that you were talking about in the beginning, that Browns game. I have never seen this stadium. Doesn't even matter if it was football, a concert, rodeo,
y'all do a lot of great
anything.
Things around.
There's a lot of things that happen here, but that game was the most fun I've ever had at this stadium.
The expectations for us for this season just made it so much sweeter. Like outside expectations was nothing. I mean, we have expectations of ourselves, but to go into that game, we win a playoff game in our stadium in that way. I mean, just domination. It was
amazing. And I know the cherry on top is my best friend is a Browns fan, and he was at the game too. So
y'all sitting next to each other, or did he have to walk away?
I was in the suite.
Oh, that's
with
right,
y'all.
You were with us.
He was he was across the stadium watching it with his girlfriend, and I just remembered trash talking him
This is one of the opportunities that you get to actually talk smack to somebody as hard as you want, where it won't go into violence. Like, stops right there because the team's winning or losing, they win or lose. That's when you get out in the streets, we go back to normal living, be civil. All right. Yeah. But like in there, that's your team's playing, man. It gives people need to vent. I mean, life's kind of tough on them. And y'all give them the opportunity to get rid of that, watching people do that, man. It's just.
So there was also just so many exciting games last year. Do you know how many, off the top of your head, how many kind of last minute wins that we ended up coming out with?
We had a number. I don't remember what the number
seven?
Is.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of them.
But that's Tampa insane. Bay was the most incredible.
I remember just because, I mean, I watch every single game, and all those last minute ones, I mean, they're just nail biters. I've never seen any team specifically just have that successful of a season whenever it's just that close for a lot of the games.
Oh, wait, I said Tampa Bay. But the Indy game to then win the AFC South on the last play of the game.
So many of those.
Gosh.
It was amazing.
I had tears. I had real tears. I had real tears that game. That's Joanna.
He must have been doing it a lot because even the commentators say that. They're like, this is that come behind. Just don't worry about it yet. When they just kept saying that over and over again.
Yep.
I know. We got to a point where it kind of reminded me of the 2019 LSU championship team. How it doesn't even matter if we're down or we're not playing well the first half or whatever. I'd always just be like, okay, we still got it. We've got time.
Is this Stingley was on that team?
Oh yeah.
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 That's really whenever I first fell in love with Stingley and whenever y'all drafted him first pick, I was the only one around me that was just
excited.
Like, let's go.
Yeah, he's
awesome.
It was
amazing. And I mean, he's
You're
turned out really well.
You're a good talent evaluator.
Yeah. But the team, as the team does that, they buy into that belief, and then it allows them to repeat it. And so they were really good in a very tight end-to-game, end-to-half situations. They're really, really good.
You have to have a good leader in that foxhole
That's
with you.
That's true.
And belief that you can do it.
And I'm a big fan of D'Amico Ryans, too, speaking of leader. I feel like he's leading that team as well. I mean,
that's the culture, right? D'Amico brings a culture that is everybody believes in, and they all want to win for him too, right? And then you have him, and then you have CJ on the field. It's a different vibe. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. The vibe is just different. It is different in here. It is different in that room when D'Amico is speaking to the team. It's a different vibe than I've ever felt in this organization.
That's right. And I feel like a lot of it is kind of because he's a younger guy, just got out of playing the NFL. And I mean,
they trust him, right? You saw
recently.
The video with Harris, and he said, do this, I promise you, you're gonna get the ball.
Yeah, that
then,
video went viral.
And
ended up getting a pick six. That was amazing.
That was fun.
yeah, just referring back to the Browns game. Yeah, I just love how, I don't know, he makes the whole team feel like it's not just work. It's more of just a fun environment.
You got to love the game.
Yeah.
Got to love it. And every guy in that locker room. I think, was it Nick or D'Amico said, no, CJ, he told, some guys he was with at the Pro Bowl, I guess, if I'm getting this right. That, hey,
Will.
Houston, it, Will.
Will.
Will, it was Will.
Will Anderson.
Houston isn't for everyone. That means, like, if you come here, you better love the game and want to work hard.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot. You're going to deal with some things. But it's not for everyone unless you want to come here and work hard. And that's the mentality from D'Amico. That's what he sets in that room.
I like that a lot.
That's how you make diamonds, heat and pressure.
That's true. Do you have any predictions for this year?
Predict we're going to work hard and try to win every game we walk out on the field.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
That's exciting. Well,
as many people as we can in the stands.
So,
go Texas.
Yeah, y'all have to come in our suite this year.
All right, man. Thank y'all. That was great.